Hello, dear listeners. This is Deamira Rose D'Agostino again with Elemental Whispers Podcast. I want to begin today's episode with reading a poem called Pact with the Fae by Shona Holm. Pact with the Fae. You wish a rhyme from Fae to thee. Well, we'll provide you one that's free. You pledge today to serve our kin, to still your mind and go within, to listen closely to the sound that hails from folk close to the ground. We led you to the moss-clad tree, where you found the temple door. In your dream state, you'll return and shrink in size to forest floor. An emissary will be waiting. You must look him in the eye. Offer him the finest honey. Say to him, the time is nigh. For fairies, elves, and all to dance under the moon in a magic trance. And among the ferns and mossy rocks will appear the fae in luminous frocks. Their elfin cousins will nod their heads and gather the glistening, fragile threads of spider webs woven from branch to twig. The elven do not care a fig if spiders disturbed or even its prey, for a new web is born at the break of day. These threads are used to weave a pathway deep beneath the roots of the tree. Follow the fairy, cavalcade, to a shimmering place few humans see. This is a place of secret knowledge. Think of it as a fairy college, with ancient secrets are held with care, and the green arts are practiced everywhere. In small doses we'll reveal to you the magical practices known to few. Commit yourself to this ancient craft as we present you with each draft of previous knowledge and magical working. And once we begin, there can be no shirking of what is expected when you enlist the help of beings few know exist. Communion with fairies from times long past was known to your ancestors who held fast to the sacred and secret knowledge of old that was held by the fae whose stories were told by those who've engaged them and treated them well, and returned with extraordinary stories to tell. Some of our kin are dangerous sorts, who cause many problems and harm. Yet others of us will form solid bonds, so do not feel alarm. We only require you open your heart and speak from a place that is true. We always check for integrity before we reveal a clue. For magic and knowledge is best held by those who keep their ears close to the ground, who see with real eyes and know when to speak and when to not make a sound. And so, dear woman who seeks what is hidden and held behind the veil, will assist your noble endeavor to drink from the Holy Grail. Use your time wisely and don't waste a chance to still and listen well to the beings of nature and worlds beyond. Gently coax them from their shell. Their language is filled with symbol and riddle and rhymes of every kind. Open the door within your soul and hear them in your mind. They'll initiate you in myriad ways. They'll enter your dreams and transform your days. So welcome to Weird, dear woman of heart. Your pledge was heard. Where shall we start? And that, my dear friends, is from Shona Holm. She is going to be our guest today. And she is a teacher, a counselor, an author, and a poet. Of Celtic heritage, she follows the wisdom of the ancients and is inspired by the Bandri and Fili, which is Gaelic, for a Celtic medicine woman, seer, and poet. As a modern medicine woman, she brings her connection to nature and the spirit worlds in her flourishing practice, hosting retreats and online counseling sessions where she works psycho-spiritually with clients from all over the world. She specializes in shadow work, delving into the rich territory of the psyche. Shona has studied with master teachers and for the past 12 years has apprenticed herself to the mushroom teachers who have led her into profound connection with the spirits of nature and her ancestral roots. She is the author of Ishel Wisdom, Love and Spirit Medicine, and Poetic Whispers from the Cauldron of the Otherworld, which, by the way, folks, is the book from which I was reading this most beautiful poem. In addition, she hosts the podcast, The Mushrooms Apprentice, and you can find her at her website, shonahome.com. That's shonahome.com. So clearly from that bio and from that poem that I just read, and by the way, her book is filled with the most entrancing poetry and a very beautiful and extraordinary story as well, which we're going to be diving into. So I am going to begin, first of all, by welcoming you, Shona, to the show. Thank you so much for being here with me and with all of us.
Oh, thank you, Deamira, so much. And thank you for starting with my poem. That is just so sweet. Really appreciate that.
And I hope at some point throughout the episode that we will also hear from you reading one of your poems, because you just have such a way of bringing through those beautiful codes that truly captivate and talk to the soul and the heart. But to begin, why don't you share a little bit about your journey, about the journey that weaves the human with the mythic and whatever is most alive and present for you? I know each of our journeys is so big, but what wants to come forward in this moment to share with us?
Yeah, you know, I'll go way, way, way back, because I'm going to be 61 here in a few weeks. So I'm going way back. When I was a little girl, I was in Toronto, Canada, and I used to go to the library and get books. And I remember finding Andrew Lang's series of the Red Fairy Book, the Blue Fairy Book. And he was a folklorist, and he and his wife collected these beautiful fairy tales from all over. And I absolutely fell in love with those stories. And I sought out other fairy tales as well, Hans Christian Andersen, and just, it spoke to me deeply. And as a child, I was clairsentience, which is the feeling, you feel things, and also claircognizance, so I would know things. And I also had an Irish grandma, and she had a beautiful accent, and she was a fantastic storyteller. And she would tell us fairy stories, and she would speak in a very hushed voice. And so we would have to be quiet and, get the full story. So I feel like I had a richness to my childhood where I was able to really explore the imaginative realms. And I would say at that time, I believed in fairies. Today at almost 61, I don't need to believe. I know there, where there is a full relationship. But back then when I was young, I used to comb my garden for fairies and, to no avail, because I was not clairvoyant. But in any case, then, I grew up and, did what everyone does, I guess, and I tried to fit in, although unlike what seemed like everybody, I just couldn't. I just didn't. I was always felt like I was on the outside looking in. And so that's been my whole life. And it wasn't until I started in my 40s working with this wonderful teacher who's passed now. His name was Dr. Brew Joy. He was a Johns Hopkins trained MD, and he left an illustrious career to teach. And he went around the world. He went to Findhorn, was one of the places he went to, and he met with these different teachers. And then he was also very Jungian. He did a lot. He read everything that Jung wrote. And so that was my first intro into the elements of the psyche, dreams, shadow. And I knew this man is my teacher. And in terms of the kind of not fitting in, that sense I had, he said to me once, he just healed me. He said, you don't come here to fit in. That's not, don't, Just live what you are. Live what you are and go down those less trodden paths. That's what you came here to do, not fit in with the gang. And so it really does free you up in a sense because you're like, well, all right, let me explore this and this and this. So that's what I did. And in my 40s, by then I had two daughters. I was divorced and then I remarried. And I spent my 40s working with these incredible teachers. And I got into this shamanic study. And I was just so blown away by that depth of spiritual understanding, that depth of nature connection. And I was very blessed because I had superb teachers, just a small handful that I worked with for, you know, a few years. And then at 48, I tried mushroom for the first time. Now, before that, I don't do recreational drugs. I don't take pharmaceuticals. Like, I'm really careful about what I put in my body. If you told me 20 years ago that I'd be doing what I'm doing, first of all, I'd be like, wait a minute, how? I don't do drugs, but I don't think of the mushroom as a drug. I mean, my goodness, it is. It's a medicine. It's not a medicine to take lightly, but it's a very, very old, timeless teacher is really what it is. And I've never done it in a party way. And so I ended up having a year of monthly mushroom journeys. And the first half of those were spent up in the Washington rainforest. I was in Washington State for a number of years. And I had a friend up there and he inducted me into my first experience. And after that first experience, I was blown away and I realized this is a portal. This is a portal. And I was so grateful for, by then I had 8 years of really deep psycho-spiritual exploration. I had excellent teachers. I had a training in, or an understanding of shadow, you know, so it kept me grounded in what became very extraordinary experiences. And, you know, I've had people who've crossed over speak through me. And that happened long before I ever picked up a mushroom. So I had that proclivity in me already. What happened over those next couple of years was I came into mediumship and these spirits would speak through me. And, you know, I always did ritual before I started the mushroom, you know, and I would always go in. I long gave up having an intention because, you know, you get so sort of blown away in there and be like, wait a minute, what intention? I wouldn't even remember. But so I would always approach that with what I call open heart, humble, seeking wisdom. I wanted to go in there and sit curled at the feet of the sages of nature. And so that's what I did. And those first 2-3 years, the mantra constantly, whether I was on the mushroom or off, was get your mind right, dear. Get your mind right, because I suffered for the better part of my life with chronic worry and at times crippling self-doubt. And it's funny because I've worked with so many people with anxiety and depression. And a few years ago, I was like, wait a minute, that's what they call anxiety. But it never occurred to me to label it because I don't label in my practice anyway. And I just, for me, it was like, no, I got to figure this out. And the mushroom helped me tremendously in addition to the work I did with these teachers. And so they were helping me to get my mind right. And after about 3 years, they started teaching me how to use my mind magically, telling me that, I'll quote from one of my poetic messages, the great wand of antiquity is buried where you cannot see, for you've been told to look outside and not within where it resides. And so this was what they wanted me to do. And so I did, and, you know, I've been working with the power of mind and heart for a great number of years in partnership with the She. So what happened was I ended up going on a trip to Scotland, and you and I have a very special thing in common, and that is those wondrous, extraordinary stone circles. And so I went with Freddie Silva, and this was almost 9 years ago now. And he does these little boutique tours. He is one of the world's leading researchers on crop circles and sacred sites. He's written a number of books. He's a dynamite speaker. He's a lot of fun. And so he does these tours. It's only six people. And it was to the Outer Hebrides of Scotland. And I'd never been. And he's also a photographer. And you know what? I don't even think I read any of the text other than the dates. Those photographs put every hair on my body on end. I couldn't believe it. And I ran to the bank that day and you know, sent my deposit, my non-refundable deposit. And I realized this is a pilgrimage, because back then money was tight for me. And I just thought, all right, part of the pilgrimage is sacrifice, and you just got to figure out how you're going to do it. And I got myself there. And I went a few days early. I went to Isle of Skye, which was amazing, and went to the Fairy Glen up in Oog, and it was incredible. Anyway, I met up with Freddie and these five amazing people, and we went to the Isle of Lewis, where the Stone Circle of Callanish is, and that's where Harris Tweed comes from, which is an indigenous art form. They take the wool from the sheeps there, and then there are these different people, and they have these small, what do you call them, you know, where they weave in their homes. And so we went to a couple of smaller stone circles before Callanish. And on the plane to Isle of Lewis, by then, you know, they were speaking to me in poetry. And this message came, and it said to me, "You hold the key inside, and the gates you'll stand before will yield." And so the understanding that these stone circles are gateways, and I write about this in my book, Poetic Whispers from the Cauldron of the Other World, that comes out April 10th. And there's a whole chapter on stone circles, because what happened was, first of all, I walked around that circle, the little one. I stood in the center, and I just wanted to feel the vibratory field, because Freddie spoke about how these stone circles are placed, and these temples, on what he called geomagnetic hotspots, that we have essentially lines of magnetic energy, as you and your listeners, I'm sure, know, running through the earth, just like we have meridians on our body, because we are earth. And so the ancients knew this, and they would douse, and they would read the energy fields, and they would place these structures accordingly. And then the structures, these stone circles in particular, are done to a specific geometry. And then the stone is very important. The stone is paramagnetic, meaning it holds a mild charge. And so it's activating with the charge field of the line of magnetic energy it's on. So you stand inside a stone circle, and we're mostly water. And water holds a current, which is our spirit, which is electric. But then you're in that charge field. So you're picking up these vibratory waves. And so in Stone Circle Whispers, which we talked about, which is another one of the poetic transmissions, they said something like, think of it as, or they said, a kind of prehistoric phone, which I just love. You know, you go in there and you can commune. And so what happened to me was this, I felt this presence next to me, and it was this tall male being, and he put his hand out, and he had a golden orb in his palm, and he simply put it in front of me, and I reached out and took it, and I placed it in my heart center. And as soon as I did, I felt like I had a device in there. And after that, I was pouring forth poetry at all these different sites we were at. Thank God I brought my digital recorder. No mushrooms needed. It was extraordinary. And then when I got home, because I was still pulsating with that vibratory field for the next 3 months, they were speaking to me. I mean, I could feel them around me, to the point where I would take my digital recorder to bed with me at night, because as I was starting to wake up the following morning, poetry would come in. And that's how they speak. They speak in rhyme. And so anyway, I ended up writing Poetic Whispers. I called it From the Green Realms about 7 years ago and self-published it. And it was just a few of these poems. And then it wasn't until over a year ago, my publisher said, we were talking about that book, and he said, you know, you've got all this material from like these past 6 years, all this poetry. Why don't you enlarge the book, you know, and do chapters? And I was like, okay. And I did nothing until actually just right after Thanksgiving of 23. And it's like, I call it being possessed by the muse. And all of a sudden I was like, it's time to write that book. So I was writing, I would have days where I would write for 8 hours. And, you know, collected all the poetry, but then put, you know, chapters before it. And anyway, so I have a dear friend who's followed my work for a long time, and she said, this is your legacy, this book. And so it's all about connecting to the mystical side of nature. And we all have that ability because we are nature. And we have been led, I think of like that story of the Pied Piper who led all the children out of that town and into the mountain and away, and they just disappeared. And that to me feels like our folk spirit, that every single culture had their unique folk spirit. And I'm an Irish Scottish lady. And so, you know, I really resonate with that. And as the industrial age took over and just changed, and I would say decimated the landscape and seduced people away from their folk ways, from their traditions, you know, and by the way, you hear, you know, a liberal, conservative, whatever. I'm neither of those. I'm a traditionalist. And I have a dear friend from the Netherlands who sent me this. He was doing this whole image piece on architecture and how it's changed. And there was like communist architecture, which was horrifying. There was capitalist architecture, which was horrifying. And then there was traditionalist. You're just like, oh my God, that's so absolutely exquisitely beautiful, right? Like just no comparison. And I think that's, you know, in our hearts around the world, we all had our ways of doing that. And so this book, I feel like, is an invitation to people to reconnect to that folk spirit. And, you know, what you are doing, Dimera, is just so beautiful because the fairy, the beautiful fairy lore of the Celts, it's, there's the lore, but it's based on, you know, people were having experiences with these beings, really powerful experiences. Goes way, way, way back. Every culture had their genius loci, they call them, the spirits of the land.
One of the things that I want to highlight and I would love to hear you talk more about is you talked about using the power of the mind and then opening the gateway of the heart, essentially. But what I loved that you talked about was how the spirits and the mushroom guardians really reflected to you the importance of clearing the crap, clearing the clutter, not starting out with focusing at first on manifestation, focusing first on some of these watered down ways of working with spirit, but actually first starting with that beautiful net foundation of getting the mind right. And then once having that stable foundation from that place, now beginning the communion, the open-hearted communion. Not that we can't, obviously the idea that we're separated is a belief, but when we're operating from the mind, which I think you made also a distinction of at the beginning, when you were little, you believed in fairies. Now you know. And that is absolutely, I feel like the heart of this work is about rekindling that mythic heart to where we are steeped in the relationship and the knowing. It's no longer the constructs of the mind. So I would love for you to share anything you want to about that journey of what it was like for you working in those initial years of clearing the clutter of the mind and how important you found it.
Okay. We're going to be here for 2 hours, Dimera. I can't wait to meet you in person because we're going to be talking all day. Okay. So the mind. All right. We have our childhood experiences and often the woundings occur at that time and the patterns are struck in childhood. And then we keep going and everything is pattern. Absolutely everything. And so we get caught in these patterns. And they repeat themselves in our relationships. And they certainly did for me. And so we end up conditioned. We're programmed. We're mind controlled. I mean, all of that, you know, schooling. John Taylor Gatto called it schooling. He refused to call it education. He was an educator and talked about the sort of the evils of public education and the indoctrination that goes with it. And so we've got all that in our heads. And a lot of our opinions have been sort of put in us through all of this media stuff. And then we have our woundings and we have our biases, you know. So by the time I got to the mushroom at 48, oh boy, did I have some housekeeping to do, you know, major housekeeping. Oh my God. And I wrote about that in my book, Love and Spirit Medicine, and that is a very raw, vulnerable woman's telling. It's a beautiful book. It goes into depth into my first, what became 12 months in a row of these powerful mushroom journeys. And looking back, that was a kind of soul training for me. And midway through that, I went through a dark night of the soul. And, you know, for these folk who end up as sort of, whatever you want to call them, shamans, wise women, medicine people, you know, there's always some kind of crisis. And so it can be a physical crisis. It can also be a mental, emotional, a psychic crisis. And so for me, it was an intense dark night of the soul. And my marriage was failing. And my marriage before that to the father of my girls failed. And, you know, I just thought, okay, I have to look at me. Like, I can blame these guys till the cows come home, but that's like childish. And Brew, thank God, he was such a mature teacher. He said, you know, you have to look back at these challenging difficulties and ask, how did that serve? Like, we know how it screwed you up. We know. We got that down. How did it serve? And then he would ask yourself what was right about it. Now, a lot of things like abuse, you know, to the surface consciousness, he would say, there's nothing right about it. Like, that's disgusting. It's horrible. But you got to go deeper because there's layers and layers, and you can take this deeper and deeper and deeper to the understanding where it's almost like the abuser and the abusee are tethered. You know, it is a relationship. And so what's going on in the deeper nature there? And how did that serve? Did it make you, well, stronger? That sounds so cliche, but, you know, for instance, I was bullied in junior high school, and it scarred me, and it scarred me for decades. And then when I began working with Brew, he said, you know, what was right about it? How did it serve? And it made me realize that it's made me much more compassionate and always kind of looking out for, if I was in a group situation, and I don't actually feel comfortable in groups really, but I would have these full moon circles at my house in my 40s, and I would have upwards of 30 some odd women come sometimes, you know, do once a month, and we do these wonderful circles. And I'd do a potluck beforehand, and I could tell if there was a woman who looked kind of awkward, immediately I'd make a beeline to her, make sure she felt comfortable, introduce her to someone who I think would be complimentary, that kind of thing. Like, it made me more sensitive, I realized. And so I had to look at my pattern in relationship in that dark night. And realize, like, I got to clear this up. And of course, on these mushroom journeys, toward the end, it would be like you were sitting with this wise elder who would sort of say, now, listen, that wasn't cool. You need to clean that up, or you need to come clear. And so I would come out of that journey and I would make it right. So it has been an extraordinary teacher in terms of, you know, shadow work. And shadow work, you don't just do it over the weekend and then you're good to go, or like take a workshop. Like, it goes on. Believe you me, in fact, I just was in more of it all last year. But this is so important because nature isn't static. She's always changing, as are we. And so it can be wrenching and difficult to go inward and look at some of that. But it's so deeply healing at the end of the day. And also freeing to realize, you know, for me, I realized like 98% of my suffering was pretty much self-induced. And through decisions I made, I was young and foolish and naive and reckless. I'm an Aries. Oh my God. Aries is like ready, fire, aim. Thank God I have Virgo rising. But anyway, so there's all that. And so before you can learn how to use your mind magically, the shadow work is so essential, because if you are going to work magically, that's a wand that must be wielded with great care and responsibility. And I was talking with this woman, Tina Kemp, and she works with the runes. She lives in Italy. She's a really great woman. But she talks about these people who are abusing magic, and they don't like something someone said, so now they're going to curse them. Like, this is no joke. This is very, very old. Magic is very old. And magic and poetry and prophecy were basically one and the same to many, many of the ancient people, including our own Celtic folks. So it's a big responsibility. And I feel like the mushrooms really were preparing me those first few years. Like, you're going to get that mind right. Yes, you're going to look at that. Yes, you're going to change that. And I also, you know, I've been single for 10 years because I also realized I'm in a pattern with relationship and I need to look at me and I need to make major shifts in myself because, of course, there's that axiom of alchemy, as within, so without, because whatever is going on in our mind is reflected in our energy field. It can't not be. So we're electromagnetic. And so whatever is going on in that mind, we're going to attract not only people, but situations. Same old, until we clear the mind. You know, we look at that stuff and do like what the beings, the she, call it course correction. And I love they use a lot of metaphors of the ocean, the sea, and the sailing. It's really beautiful. But I love that, that this is about course correction. And we all have some course correction to do. And we'll find more, believe you me, as we keep going in life. So then I told you about the self-doubt and the worry. And I used to struggle with money. And it really came down to self-esteem. And also lack of faith, lack of trust. And these beautiful teachers have just been helping me so much with that and giving me opportunities to learn faith, to exercise it, to practice it, and realize that I can set my sights on something. I'm more capable than I give myself credit for, and I can accomplish a great deal. But I think also the key is that spiritual connection, whatever it is for people. That understanding that we are part of a living mystery, and we are a living mystery, and there are grandfathers and grandmother spirits, if you will, and beautiful emissaries of light that are just waiting for us, you know, helping spirits, we'll call them, the good spirits, the helping spirits. They're very gracious, and they will not impose themselves on you. But when you ask, when you seek, magical things happen because you initiate a charge because this whole thing is electromagnetic. And then synchronicities begin to happen. I see synchronicity as a language. In other words, this living mystery, which is nature, all of its nature, wants to engage us. And again, all people around the world have their unique history of how their people would engage nature and the spirits, and that we call it animist today, that understanding that everything has an intelligence to it and it can be connected with. I also love dearly Rudolf Steiner, you know, and he spoke, of course, at great length about this, and came up with the biodynamic farming, and you're working with the spirits of the land, with the devas, and I quoted him at the beginning of my book because he said raising children on fairy tales is absolutely essential. Because it opens that folk spirit and the imagination, as it did for me, like it just gave me a richness. Otherwise, he said something to the effect that you sort of risk having a kind of emotional sterility in life. You know, we need that. We need that folk soul and we need a connection.
Yeah, the way I see it is the land is singing with this mythic story that arises from the heart of the land, but then also each area of land has its own frequency, its own unique way that it expresses its story. And I'm seeing the Vesica Pisces even now. There's some way that, at least in back in the days of our great, great, great ancestors, but now as we're coming back into the forefront, there is this merging where the mythic story of the land breaks open into the mythic stories of our own hearts. And there's this intersection where these two begin to sing together. And it's all the same. It's all one. We are the mythic story of the land. And yet there's this engagement that's been happening for all this time from the land. But if we've lost the key to this doorway, to this pathway of light, then it's like we've become deaf to it all these years. And so it's been singing. It's that tree that falls in the forest that nobody's around. So no, it doesn't really make a sound kind of thing. And I'm just seeing that the song has been getting louder and louder and louder. And so now it's just breaking through and breaking into the hearts of humanity to hopefully wake us up out of our deadened sleep. And to me, the deadenedness is that lack of mythic memory, that lack of that disconnection from that mythic song that lives within each and every one of us. And as you were speaking about the stone circles, you know, I actually just guided a journey, taught a whole course back in the fall on sacred sites and quests of the soul. And so taught very deeply about the mysteries of sacred sites and what it is to really journey to a sacred site. And I learned it the hard way because the sacred sites, especially the ones that are turned on, and obviously not all of them are still active on the grid. I feel that some of them have gone into a sleeping state, and then other ones, unfortunately, have been co-opted by dark magicians and whatnot. But the ones that are singing and alive and active on the planet are calling to us, are calling to humanity to make our travels to them, to make our pilgrimages to them, so that then as we're standing within these sacred places, and ideally we're going with humble hearts, not with that, give me, you know, energy, right? But we're standing with that humble heart of just open and just pure heartedness. What, like you mentioned, it's that magnetism. So what ends up happening is it's like that magnetic field begins to speak to our magnetic field. And then that which is within us, that which is laying dormant, begins to awaken and come forward. And I've also noticed that it magnifies. And so anything that is within us that isn't completely aligned to that place of love within us comes forward. And this is why I do feel like it's always nice to have some preparation in terms of when we begin to make pilgrimage. And I have also I'm curious if you have also noticed this when we commune with beings of profound consciousness, the beloved guardians of sacred places and the planetary guardians, because of their extraordinary magnetic fields, I have also found that as we commune deeply with them, we're bathed in this essence of love that becomes this baptism, not baptism in a religious sense, but baptism in a sense of renewal and remembrance into ourselves. And as we progress in this work, those communions also have the ability to, like a magnet, to amplify, like a crystal, really, anything within us. So we have to, if we want to stay true and in integrity with this work, the journey with working with the shadow and continuing to look at the patterns within ourselves, the patterns within the mind, is ongoing. It's like the further we go along, there's these layers and these places that want to come forward to be resolved into healed wholeness. And so I'm just curious if you've noticed that in working with these guardians, with their profound electromagnetic fields, if you felt almost an activation of both, yes, remembrance, but also an activation of wounded parts coming forward, wanting to be healed.
What a question, because, okay. First of all, I had this wonderful teacher in my 40s. I worked with him for 2 years. He came to teach our house. We had a group of 10 of us who would converge 4 times a year. It was really profound work. But one thing he said that I never forgot, he said, you know, when you do this work, he wasn't speaking to psychedelics, he was just speaking to what you and I do, a lot of people do, this kind of psycho-spiritual work. You must be impeccable. And he said, and we're human, and we make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, own it and learn from it. So, you know, what you're talking about also is when you're in those fields, it's a resonance field. And so, again, we're mostly water, and that's a big field. And so we come into resonance with that field, and it's incredibly activating. And it can also activate, yeah, buried stuff. So I like to do a mushroom journey on the first of the year, because usually I have two amazing daughters in their 20s, and they'll come for Christmas, and then they'll leave to do their thing for New Year's, and I've got that house to myself. Because when I go in darkness by myself, in silence. I don't want any music, no chanting, nothing. I want to go deeply inward. And so I was with the fairy queen, and I think about this almost every day because it was so profound, just that state of being with her. And she brought to mind something that I did that is my great shame. And, I just made a mistake. It was very poor judgment. And it was like 5 years ago. And I was so embarrassed and shocked at myself that I'd like done something like that, that I just buried it. I buried it. And I also had a lot going on at that time. So it was easy to bury, and I just buried it. And if it would sort of raise up, I would just put it away. Well, it came up in full force. And in that moment, also, Demira, she showed me a sword. I didn't think I would ever talk about this publicly. And she said, "This is the sword of integrity. It is the sword of rigorous honesty." And I felt myself back away just to say, wait, no, I'm human. I am as fallible. No. I can't carry that sword. And so she gave it to me. And it's, again, it doesn't mean I'll never make a mistake, but I see that as a number of things. First of all, when you're in a very, very high trance state and you're all open and something like that happened, you will never forget it, first of all. So to your point, it's like I was in a resonance field and something occurred that has made me much more, shall we say, mindful. And at the same time, so I'm Virgo rising, and I love astrology, and discovered a number of years ago, which helped me greatly, that Virgos are very hard on themselves. They're perfectionists. And, there's nothing anyone could write or say about me that would ever top some of the mean things I've said about myself, my inner mean girl. But in any case, part of that too was to forgive myself. I called a couple of friends after that journey just to tell them what happened 5 years ago. And they were just incredibly, dear friends, kind and understanding. And one just said, "You need to forgive yourself." So there's that piece too. These shadow pieces come up and they will knock you sideways sometimes, because the psyche is a great mystery in and of itself. I worked with a man, so I do these one-on-one retreats, and it's very deep psycho-spiritual work. And it's out of my home. It sounds strange, but it's actually, I think, quite traditional, because back in the day, the medicine woman or the wise woman, she didn't have a retreat center or a clinic. She had a household. So in any case, they come, stay with me in my house, very intimate and deep, deep work. And so this man told me he only had found out a few years back, he was almost 60, that he'd been molested as a child repeatedly. And the psyche shut that out entirely. He had no memory until decades later. So the mind is quite something. What it will do out of necessity, it's just quite something. So this work is just, you talked about that humility. I always say, when you really, really touch that, you can't be anything but humble. It takes you down to your knees. Like, it's so humbling. And when you touch true power, it's the most humbling thing in the world because you realize the gravity of what true power is. That to truly hold power, the responsibility with that is just profound. And then the great grief of seeing how power is wielded today. And I realize this is the story of human nature. You know, we are beautiful and terrible and everything in between. I mean, every story, you know, is possible with humanity. And I do think, though, like nature, there are times when we've got it together and we're in balance. And then there are other times where we don't have it together and we are way out of balance. And we're in the thick of that right now. And yet, in spite of all the sort of darkness that we see, there are people like you, like me, like your listeners, like these just beautiful beings who are endeavoring to bring something of beauty into this world. My publishers, Logo Sophia Publishers Publishing, it's Steve and Chris, and they're in their 70s, and they're awesome. And their mantra or their motto is, beauty is not a luxury, it is essential. And so, and this is what this work is to me, is this deep beauty. And I love that truth, beauty, and the good. You know, this is about that. Exactly. And yeah, I mean, we as humanity, we are capable of atrocities, and we're also capable of the most just glorious, gorgeous, heroic, amazing, poetic acts you can possibly imagine. I mean, if you use the word mythic, we are in mythic times.
Yes. You were speaking about beauty, and I just kept hearing beauty. It's the nectar food for the soul. Mm. It's the nectar food for the soul. And what you touched on in terms of the responsibility and power and where that connects with humility, I really want to put a exclamation point around these words and these ideas and invite people to sit with the idea of power, of true power as a meditation. And to me, when we sit with that pure, raw essence of power, all of the things that we've been talking about, the tricks that this society, that media can sort of funhouse, enslave the mind, when we truly sit in that contemplation of the essence of power and the essence of heart, I feel like all of that falls away. Even the tendencies of pattern, it's the both and, it's the polarity. It's, we have these patterns and we have these woundings and we have these barriers that prevent us from seeing truth, from seeing clearly, and from reclaiming our mythic communion and relationship with land, with spirit. We have that. And then in an instant, we can realign with truth, with, as you are sharing, that sword that, of course, was one of the sacred fairy hollows and the sacred treasures, which was about, at its heart, about cutting away and aligning with truth. And staying in deep alignment with truth. And truth is inherent. Like, each one of us has that truth buzzer, no matter how buried it has gotten with programming, we all have it deep, deep down inside. And it only takes that moment of realignment to have that exhale of, oh my God, I remember. I remember. And then it's just a matter. Now you have that truth button, I'm going to call it. And now you have that internal map is activated. And now you just follow it and you follow it and you follow it. So I guess I'm bringing that forward because I myself can get so bogged down in focusing on let's heal, let's resolve. And this is so important because we have to stay clear, especially if we stand forth to do this work and support others. We don't want our projections and our wounds to come into that space. We don't want delusions of grandiosity and guru syndrome to come up and poison that beautiful sacred cauldron, that well of wisdom that wants to come through us and each one of us. And so we have to do that work, and it is such a beautiful and sacred responsibility that we must take seriously. And at the same time, we are meant to play magic. This communion with spirit is our birthright. And communion and relationship with the living light, the living mystery of the land is our birthright. And in an instant, we can remember ourselves, and know ourselves as whole, as connected. And so it's literally that middle path of that both and that I just wanted to presence of we have to do the work and we have to know this work is serious and it's a commitment. And at the same time, it lives within us. It lives, the answers live within us and the map actually lives within us. It's just sleeping. It's sleeping. Oh my gosh, we could talk for hours. We're kind of going to backtrack. Yeah. What I realized we didn't do, we shared how the mushrooms were part of your journey. But what we didn't do is really let you talk about how you see the mushrooms as supporting a spiritual path. Like, what part are the mushrooms playing right now? And just talk to us for somebody who has never even considered mushrooms, or the only thing they know about mushrooms is when they tripped on mushrooms when they were 15, right? For that person, what would you say, not as an invitation, but just as a, oh, let's just ground us in what you're talking about here.
Sure. First of all, I will say with any of these plant medicines, fungi medicines, there's an enchantment piece to be very careful of because people can get very unwound, shall we say, and think they are the reincarnation of, I don't know, Isis or whatever. And, and you know, one of my clients actually is writing a book on kind of the shadow side of all of this, which is a very, very, very important book because mushrooms right now are being lauded. You know, there's documentaries and everyone's talking about this and everyone's a mushroom shaman now. And they are amazing and they're not for everyone and they are not something to take lightly. There's been talk for a long time about set and setting. And that's really important. I mean, I still talk to people who did mushrooms at a concert or a party or big festivals and stuff. That's not for me, my personal choice. I don't want to do that. I want to be alone with the spirits. And so I would think of it as it is a kind of initiation because no one can tell you what's going to happen when you go in. You know, it's a journey. You could laugh, you could cry, you could be scared out of your mind. It could be unpleasant. It could be many, many, many different things. And so it's important to approach it with great care and choose a safe setting to be in, especially if you're new to it, for sure have someone with you. Just because sometimes it's like you're on this journey in the mushroom and you can get caught somewhere and it can be a rough go. And it can make all the difference to have someone there who can hold your hand and maybe talk you away from that and help you connect somewhere else. Because the majority of quote unquote bad trips happen to people who are all by themselves. Because you can just get caught in that snag and then you're just done for the next 5 hours. So there's that. There's the safety piece, the set and setting. And ultimately, so you go in and you are opened up and your walls come down. And you, it's like the deeper you is accessible. And I know this is a portal. And so it's a portal. There's the mushroom spirits. And I think there is a huge connection between the fairy, the elfin, you know, and the mushroom. We have all of those Victorian paintings of mushrooms, usually the Amanita, the red with the white dots. I've not worked with that one, but in any case, they're always with fairies and elves. So there's definitely that connection. And I think even a lot of old stories that are veiled, you know, what they're really speaking to is these beings that can be accessed through the mushroom. And I think of, what is that story tale, that fairy tale about the guy who falls asleep, Gulliver's Travels. He's outside by a tree. And then he wakes up and he can't get up because he's tied to the ground. There's all these little people around him. I'm like, that's because old Gulliver was, I think Gulliver ate a few mushrooms, what I think happened really. But we'll find, we'll call it a fairy tale. So, but anyway, yeah, like you can just go into these states. I mean, I have witnessed this many, 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 many times over the years, you know, of people going in and accessing spirits, sometimes people who've passed over that they've met in those realms, and others who it's just this presence or this voice, and it gives them greater insight. So just to your point of what you were talking about earlier, how all of a sudden it's like a spell breaks. All of a sudden you see. And it's amazing and not a guarantee. Like, I just want to be so careful because there's so many people who are suffering and they are so earnestly seeking and hoping that this will help them. And it likely may. And sometimes nothing happens, believe it or not. Some people take it and like really nothing really much happens, which is shocking, but I've seen it. So. In any case, but this is, it's a mystery. It's a gift from nature. It's some kind of gift. I just think it's no accident that it does what it does to the mind, to the heart. And this is old. We know this goes way back with the, in Mexico, people of Oaxaca. There's a long, long tradition with those shaman people, you know, who work with mushrooms, Maria Sabina, and Maria Figueroa and all these people all around the world. My God, the mushrooms grow in Africa, for God's sake. And all over the British Isles, they grow. I mean, you know, Christian Rach, he passed a few years back and he was an ethnobotanist and PhD, brilliant man. He wrote a number of books on plants and psychoactive plants. And I quote him in my book as well from an article he wrote called The Meat of Inspiration for a heathen magazine called Tyr, T-Y-R. It's a superb magazine. But he said, you know, every psychoactive we can think of, pretty much, like, it was in some kind of drink used by the ancients all around the world. They were exploring those states, and they were ritually exploring those states. And this has been around for a long, long time. So I think it is a grace that it is, maybe a bit of a curse too, but a great grace mostly that it is so prominent now in people's minds. And I would say if you are seeking to work with someone, take your time. There's a lot of people not doing a great job. And then there are people who are doing just a beautiful, superb job. There are some people who work one-on-one. There are other people who work with groups. So think about which would you prefer. Or try both. You know, like there's a lot to explore with this, but it can become a spiritual practice, if you will. So I have apprenticed myself. I knew early on, this is a portal. These are teachers. I'm apprenticing myself to these beings. And it's been a wild ride, an amazing ride, and difficult at times. And yes, you will be tested. But I wouldn't have it any other way. It's made me a better woman. It's changed my life in the most extraordinary ways. Extraordinary, my God. But it's not something to take lightly. It's truly not. And it's not for everyone, as much as it would be amazing for everyone to try it. You know, just some people are just not wired for it.
Thank you so much for speaking to both the beauty and also the shadow of this beautiful sacred practice. And I feel like it's so important when we approach really any plant teachers, whether they're the subtle plants, the plants that are not psychoactive, or whether they're the plants that are these master teacher plants, is to first and foremost, I really feel like it has to be a call from within. Even the most subtle plants, even nettle growing in my backyard, it to me, when we're taking these beings into our bodies, it almost any plant being can be a profound medicine when that plant being has signaled that they want to support you, and when you feel that call of deeply wanting to work with that plant being. And I just feel like wanting to cut through again that sword of some of the mass hysteria around not just psychoactive plants, but also even everybody looking for the newest plant medicine that's going to help with immunity coming out of the Amazon or out of, you know, some exotic faraway land, when we have medicines right here, medicines that are connected to us ancestrally and also on the land we live on. And they're probably calling just as loudly and can probably be perhaps even just as, if not more, helpful. And so it's just really taking that care of hearing, listening, and then doing our homework and doing our due diligence. And then of course, taking that dive, but acting mindfully and carefully. So I love that you spoke to all of that. I can't help but be impressed with the image of the mushrooms. And I'm wondering if this is what helped you so much in part of your practice of healing and resolving some of the patterns is mushrooms. And I feel like maybe all neurognostics, they have that ability, don't they, to actually retrain neural pathways?
Yes, absolutely.
And yes. So they actually can help with some of these things that we've been talking about in terms of reorganizing, if you will.
Yes, and they definitely have done for me. And Paul Stamets says that psilocybin is a neurogenerative. It's quite amazing what it will do to the brain. And we want to be really careful, you know, with our brain. Like, I do not want to alter it synthetically, shall we say. So we want to really be careful with all of that. Mushrooms, because this is natural. You know, they grow, they come out of the ground. They're very, very, very safe. And over time, I have noticed for myself, I find that they enhance your proclivities. So because I was so intuitive as a child, it's made me even more psychic. It's quite something. And also more in tune, especially I find to the birds. Like I can almost understand what they're saying, some of their calls. I do a 5-mile walk every morning along the base of the Shenandoahs, and I don't bring my phone with me. I'll have my digital recorder if I have something I want to say into it, but I want to hear the birds especially. Also, I want to quickly say the herbalist Stephen Harrod Buhner called them, he said neurognostic, but also he called them elders of Gaia.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Oh, my God. I heard that through someone I think I was going to recommend you interview. He's a beautiful man. His name is Sean Padraig O'Donohue, and he is an herbalist and a poet and an author. He's got a book called The Silver Branch coming out. He wrote an endorsement for my book, and he sent me his book to write an endorsement for. And oh, my God, we both wrote about the three cauldrons, which is crazy because, like, who knows about that? And the poets of old and the it's like, what is going on here? Something's rising, I'll tell you. But he's also a mushroom man. He's lovely and humble, and he has autism. And he's just like this gentle giant. But he was writing about, I think Stephen Herod Buhner was a mentor for him. And so that's where I read it, because I'm on his Substack, Sean Padraig's. And I was like, oh my God, Elders of Gaia, are you kidding me? That's what they are.
I love that so much. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And I loved Stephen Buhner so much because, you know, he was also very focused on the work with the heart as an organ of perception. And yeah, his work is just incredible. So thank you so much for bringing him. And also this other person who I will check out into this space.
Sean Padraig. Well, you know, the heart medicine, that's what I used to say. I still say about the mushroom, this is heart medicine. And that's why I titled my book on my first year of mushroom journeys, Love and Spirit Medicine, because I said, this is love and spirit medicine. That's what this is, the mushroom.
I'm just like feeling the mushrooms actually coming into this space. Like they're little mushroom hearts and they're big mycelial networks that grow underground, that for me is such a beautiful medicine image of healing and remembrance, and also holding the sacred codes you spoke about when the being, one of the members of the Shi in the stone circle, met you and offered you that golden bauble of light, and then something within you turned on. I feel like Gaia. I see her as this beautiful, vibrant, extraordinary being of profound consciousness, and around her this toroidal heart field that recycles and becomes this system that truly has within it the living memory of all that ever was and all that ever will be. And so this moment with this golden, beautiful golden bauble gift that you were given, it was almost like this code turning on. And I feel like her toroidal field lives in the neural network, the pathways of the mushrooms. So that's the image that was coming forward. It's like the living memory. The mushrooms are part of the electromagnetic field that hold the living memory of this planet.
Absolutely. I think the mycelium is the nervous system of the earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So in closing, would you like to share the poem?
Yes, I would be honored. All right. So this is a transmission that came through in 2016, and this was the winter solstice. And again, I had the house to myself, and there was no saying no. I just have a sip of water. So in I went, and this is what they said. We are a small conglomeration, members of the fairy nation. We would like to sit with you and offer up our point of view. We have much to say, it's true. We will ensure that you'll construe our message to you at this hour. To you, dear one, we will shower. Using words we like to play, it's the nature of the Fae. Tonight you'll play with we the Fae. We'll make your worries go away. Invite us in so we can stay a while and with our good friend play. Magic we will make tonight, with you hidden out of sight. In your bedroom chamber dark, listen, and then you will hark. In we come through golden spine, taking you to place divine. Hidden deep inside your mind, we will show you how to find the hidden door. We'll open wide, we'll all together step inside. This will be a pleasant ride as we speak to you inside. Hard to get you out to play. You would far prefer to stay all alone with those sad thoughts. We do not like to see you caught in that web of frequency. We are here to rest you free. Trust us, daughter, this the night, the perfect evening for a flight. The sky is clear, the weather sure, your ship that grows in cow manure will take you far tonight, dear one, you a daughter of the sun. You don't need to eat that much, just enough so we can touch the beauty place within your heart. This the place we like to start. Luring you with Pan's embrace, he puts a smile onto your face. Do not lose heart, good daughter wise. We do hear your worried cries. Remember, we're a frequency, a current that you cannot see, a separate world where wise ones we. Extend our hand to help you free yourself from mental prisons there. We seek to make you quite aware that there is far more here for you. We'll help you with all that you do. And then they said, ancient shining ones did walk on this green earth. We had our flock. Feel the cauldron in heart center, placed there by we, your ancient mentors. No, we are not kin by blood. We showed up after the flood. We cast a magic overlay upon the land on which we lay, upon the land so we, the fae, would have a place where we could stay, knowing there would come the day when dark-winged ones would come to slay the shining ones you call the fae. Yes, dear, we're very much alive, and we are sharpening the knives of minds like yours, preparing you to walk through veils to join a few old friends who've been watching you while you create that cauldron's brew. And I said, Elfin Queen, fair lady there, I am trying not to stare. And she said, you've already 3 books done. Now get ready for some fun. 3 more coming soon to you. Muse's gift you are imbued. Priestesses fair were once everywhere. So many climbed the ancient stairs. Now so few who come. Those who do seek respite from the stench of pain that lives here now. They have defiled the sacred cow. We imbue the ones with ears. We will gently help you steer your ship to waters with skies clear, away from those dark ones you fear. They really cannot hurt you, dear. The more you learn of sovereignty, the better off that you will be. That is when you will be free. And the many that you see, caught in net, they are not free. Yes, they suffer terribly. You do your best to help them see. And if they're lucky, hopefully, they'll catch the drift and sail to seas that won't produce the storms and gales, the crying, moaning, and the wails. The only wails you'll likely hear will be the ones that swim quite near our ships, for they are curious, for we don't cause injurious effects upon their sacred waters. This a place where sons and daughters, mothers, fathers, and the old live in peace, and with hearts bold, they share the light within their soul. This a safe place to behold, not a dream, dear, it can be, if you open eyes to see. We are playing words with thee, hoping your good mind will free itself from all those thoughts that bind. There's more, but I'll leave you with that.
Thank you so very much. Is there anything you want to share in closing?
Well, I would just say that the mystery, the magic of nature is calling to all of us. She does not discriminate. And as one of my wonderful teachers said, just show up. Just show up. And that's what we are being asked to do now, is to show up in our fullness with all the God-given gifts that we are holding. Show up and really live this life. And don't let the media hook you in. 99% of it is propaganda. So let's focus on what's real. And what's real is nature. And she needs our love and our tending. And as well, we need love and tending to ourselves and to each other. So thank you again so much, Demi. This was just so wonderful. I'm so happy to meet you. Oh my goodness. You're a kindred spirit.
Thank you, Shona. And I will tell you that something you probably might not know, which is that I am a Libra and I tend to get on gloriously with Aries. One of my dearest sisters is actually an Aries. And so it just works. It works.
Because we're opposite on the wheel.
We're opposite on the wheel.
We're compliments. And my younger daughter's a Libra. Yeah, I love Libras.
So your book should actually probably be out by the time you all are hearing this episode. And so also Shona's website, again, is shonahome.com. And is there any place else that you would recommend that they connect with you or find you? Or is the website the main place?
The website's the main place, and you'll find my books on my website. And it'd be great if they order from there because that takes them directly to my publisher. I have very mixed feelings about Amazon. So I'm always just want to support the smaller businesses. But in any case, yeah, and then I've got courses. I have counseling sessions. I do retreats. All of that is there. And then they can contact me through the website as well.
Perfect. Thank you so very much. This has been extraordinary. And I'm really excited that we live not too far apart.